This is a continuation of September 4th, 2019 hearings at the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board, it's property owned by Jonathan and Katrinka Allred. Petition 181-31101 for account 986-035-605. There is no one in attendance for either party.
There's no one in attendance?
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No
questions.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Douglas Anderson. Petition 181-30901 for account number 138-965-000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Doug Anderson in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given this hearing would be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, trying to make this as simple as possible, although you, in your letters out to us, the assessor's office and their mistakes over the past and problems are not admissible. That's kind of interesting because that's what most of this is all about. When this assessment was made, it was the actual physical inspection. I'm standing inside of my shop barn. And in comes a little lady. Do you mind if I come in? Well, it's a little too late, but look around. And she took all the pictures, etc. And explained to her what was, let her walk around and see it. You probably got her picture, I'm assuming?
No.
Mm-hmm. If there's any questions, here are pictures that I just took this morning, so you can see there's absolutely no change in what was there. I don't live here. I snowbird and sold my house. But as you can see, there's nothing, it is not finished. There's no interior. It's just a shop with my hoist and all the stuff that I took off of my property. So there's absolutely no change in what's been going on. It is completely unfinished. I ran out of money to finish it, and since I don't live there, it was covered. And you can see the front and the back are not even finished. There are no windows. It is a shop.
All where right. Is this property?
Up on Jones Creek. Okay, now it was a 40 by 48 when I came in. Okay, I came to the assessor's office because I was out of state when I finally got my deal. And comparables, this is where it kind of started. I got checked off the box for comparables, as everybody does. And I got the comparables, and the comparables they gave me were 3 and 4 bedroom homes. Which I figure this lady's either incompetent, doesn't know what she's doing, or it's a grand scheme. Came up here, about the most frustrating experience. All I got was, I can't help what people think. I mean, those aren't really what we assess them by. Well, when you put down comparables to compare it with, that's kind of what the public thinks you're doing. I can't help what people think was what the manager told me 3 times I finally left. You know, no sense in getting all upset. But that's what it's about. I mean, how do you compare that to 3 and 4 bedroom homes? It's out in the country. There, it is 40 by 48 with a 12-foot little pad where I park my backhoe when I'm gone. They marked it down as 40 by 60 and changed. She did change that on the form when I came in. There is, of course, there's no septic system. There's no water there. I did get in electrical. And again, if we're talking about this whole process, they gave me back all my money, all my fees for my inspections and whatnot, because it was so fouled up when I went to the commission, the electrical board commission, and explained what happened. I mean, you've got the people coming out and assessing where the transformer goes and whatnot. They give you a regular building plan for what you have to do, which essentially was 20 feet of exposing the underground wiring, which I did, had done. And, okay, bring them out and let's get this in. Other section of the electrical deal of the county comes, we won't do it. What do you mean you won't do it? Because it's not what we want. Well, it was done to the plans and more. Well, we want not 20 feet, we want 40 feet or we won't even come out. That was the kind of stuff so you have to bring another crew out again. And we went through all this. They gave me back on what, didn't ask for anything. They gave me back because it was so fouled up. And that's how basically I'm seeing all of this stuff. There's 2.5 miles to the mailbox, which is parked out in the middle of the woods with no houses around it. Winters Road is the close. That used to be where we had to go to drop the kids off. They just paved down to where we only have to go about 1/2 mile of gravel road now. You also have the motor.
Did you own a house out there in that area before?
Did you? I did own a house out there, but I
sold it. Nearby
there?
Near there?
I bought close to, up above that, the next lot up above that, I bought in 1990 when there was 3 miles of gravel road to get out there and no buses, etc. But the motorcycle park is right, there along the body. We've got a neighbor who is just parking junk along her easement road into there because she hates everybody. She's blocked off access to the only water. There's a one way in, one way out. No fire deal for 10 miles to get, and you can't get water for a truck anywhere else. She put a fence and blocked the only access to any water to be pumped out of there. And then, telling everybody, I'm going to bring homeless camps in. There's camp number 3 and all this kind of stuff. You've got the goose farm right below us, 100 yards down, with nothing but a field of goose feathers. And that's the general thing, okay?
Where is this? Is this in Woodland?
Jones? Okay.
Go out further so I can see.
Yeah, it's off of 292, which is the main road. Then you go off on Ireland. The road stopped at Winters Road, which is like 3 miles away.
Way out.
This is all forest land.
Northeast or
Camas?
It's right up against the.
Okay.
I mean, it's out there as far as you. It used to be the favorite haunt of all you
right.
when you were in high school.
Right.
Jones Creek Campground is next to my property. We'd go to work and put out fires on the way to work because people were putting out their fires out there. You've got the guns. It's high-powered hunting area from Winters Road under. You've got the guns, the motorcycles. It's a certain type of people that live out there.
Is that next to the motorcycle?
People that want to pay, $250,000.
It's not near the. Are you talking about the Washougal motocross track, or are you just saying the motorcycle?
No. Jones, he knows exactly. Okay. It's a big trail system.
Yes, because I used to ride up there too.
About 1/3 of the people are better from Oregon that come up there.
Right.
Out into that.
Yeah. And then the corrections facilities up there too.
And the correction facilities, it is out in.
It's in the
civilities. You called 911. They didn't come out till the next day. Okay, this sort of thing, and it's $250,000. If somebody will give me that, that's the other thing. So anyway, I'm going to slow down because I get excited. The other thing is I finally get the notice on this. Well, I can't do anything about all of this until I get back. So I get back and go up and talk to them and whatnot. But before I even came and did that, I got another notice just before I came back that I just gotten another raise even before this one had been settled. Mm-hmm. And so I go up and ask them, now I not really know what to do with this. I mean, I'm going to have a hearing here soon, I hope. And what do I do about this? Does this get taken at the same time, or do I get on the hamster cage again? Well, you have to do the whole process again. And I've been through this before out there because we are out in an area where people didn't necessarily want to be. It's a long ways out, a lot of inconvenience. And so it kept the prices down. I've had my place go up before by 220% in 1 year. Come to this after a year-long deal, come to the meet with you guys, They took it down to zero increase, and within 3 weeks, the new assessments came out at 110%.
They dropped it down to 173, so they're not asking for 220 anymore for...
Go down to the notice 18. Of value.
No, they've come on. They've done that evidently since I came, because it was 224.
Pull up the 18 notice of value.
They changed that about.
And did you? Yeah. Do they send you something that you signed off on?
No, they haven't sent me anything. But I came in and talked to the managers and was talking about that we can't do anything. You have to get on for the next one. The only thing she changed in my presence was she changed the 40 by 60 to 40 by 48.
Well, that's what apparently dropped it to 173.
But like I say, this is not even a finished barn.
How much did you pay to build it?
I had it framed up and did the rest of it myself.
So you have no... value on it, that you
well, I've got of actual money out of pocket, I've got less than $40,000.
And it's on 6 acres, is that right?
It's on six acres.
Okay.
Of which, oh, here's the other thing. Now, this piece of property was my adjacent property. I just moved, I mean, I'm a mechanic, I have backhoes, cats, sawmills, everything. I just moved down in, that's why it's such a mess. I had everything moved down in there. So that, you know, all of my stuff that I took out of my house that I didn't just get rid of, my tools and equipment and whatnot. But that piece of property was just a buffer. I mean, the easement goes right through the middle of it,
easement
which
for
is
what?
For about 12 other properties above me.
Right.
And so I'm losing 40 feet of my property through the whole width of my middle of my property. It also has a small creek at the bottom, which is almost dry in the summertime. But now they changed it since I bought it. I can't build anywhere within like 300 feet of that. So I've lost over half of my property I've even been able to use for a home or whatnot.
So there's that's the
Boulder road. Creek Road runs right through the middle of my property. And that upper part the lower part, that you can see where the little creeks, you know, winter type creek, that takes care of that whole section of my property is unbuildable since I bought it now.
Yeah.
And so basically what I'm saying is I understand that this is my second wave of Californians and what coming up with their $1 million, 1,200 square foot homes that they can now buy a mansion. Okay, and so the first time around we went through this all again. But basically, this is so far out and had so many problems as far as school bus and gravel roads and everything else, one way in, no fire protection, et cetera, that they, you know, we fought it, but they always brought it down, but now we're into the second wave. And again, nobody wants to hear about the prices, but these two waves, for those of us that I'm retired on limited income, I know that that is not part of it. But the bureaucracy of Clark County is now eating those of us that don't have all that money alive. I mean, this is essentially bare property to me that I've just got the stuff in there that I'm trying to get rid of slowly when I come back. And, you know, it's costing me, you know, over a month's pay just to be able to pay the taxes on it. So, like I say, I understand the problems, but it's like I deal with the... Honestly, I don't know if you do much in the building thing, but Clark County has long been one of the two worst in the country recognized as fouled up. And ever since a good friend of mine, the judge, John Haginson, built his place, I can remember... He had to put in French drains, so the driveway had to move down about 50 feet or whatever. And so one guy says, great. So he starts it, and the other guy, you can't do that. Well, and we're bringing in somebody to fix it. Well, that was about 30 years ago, and nobody's fixed it. Everybody has to kind of start realizing that, you know, great, all these, just like with the electrical board, I appreciate that you're trying to cut down your overhead and all this. I put in all the underground wiring up there at one time when it came. And now nobody's allowed to do that. They got specialty stuff. Well, they got out of it, but now it cost me $5,000 to have them do, the electric company do 2 hours work.
We need to move on. What, do you have any living quarters in here at all?
No. I don't live there.
So when you come over here, you stay.
I have an apartment in my buddy's place just down the road on 53rd. I stay in his apartment when I'm there and go up there and fixing up stuff and selling it, you know, so I can get all that junk out of there.
So what's the size of this barn again?
40 by 60.
40 by 60.
It has, as you can see, there's an upstairs, but you can see there's, you know.
No floor or anything.
It's got a strip of plywood down the middle so you could work up there. I was thinking maybe it's extra storage for my stuff, but it's just there unfinished and there's not a window in the place.
I thought you said 40 by 48.
40 by 48, and then it has a porch off of that covered porch that was 60. The 12 feet that they...
Okay. But the interior is 40 by
48. 40 by
48.
Okay.
Okay, I got it.
So anyway, like I say, it's a not in a prime area, very difficult. I lose most of my use of the property. That was just a buffer for my house that I had before. That they gave me a real good deal on because I did all the underground wiring for the guys that came in and did
that. When did you build this?
Hmm?
When did you build this?
It's 18, I think. No, yeah, 18. Yeah, 18, I think it was. That's when I built it, was just before they came and framed it up as I was, you know, the year before I sold it.
Sold it?
The house. I mean, so I could move all my stuff down. You know, that was part of it. I had to have some place to move it, so I had that framed up, and then I finished it. I had it framed up while I was gone, you know, roofed it and got it tight so I could move all my stuff. I just palletized everything and set it down.
I got it.
Me too. I don't have
any other questions. Thanks for coming in.
Well, you guys are actually a fairly happy group for having people in your company all the time. You know,
we weren't taking that personally, anything that you were saying. So.
Well, I'm just saying that I would like all of these branches, this bureaucracy has gotten so big, it's just I retire from the post office, running the garage. Everybody's worried about their thing, but I don't care what it costs if it doesn't come out of my budget.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the other section that's screwing up. Not my section, but they haven't found a way to get this together, and they're killing us.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But they got a nice building here and everything.
All right.
Really?
Thank you very much.
Yes. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by John and Barbara Gerst Kemper. This is for... petition number, can't read it, 181-29901 for account number 206-922-000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have John Gerst Kemper in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth and a penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like their decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I apologize for submitting three different numbers. The first one I submitted on September 27th was just an estimate based on previous years, and I stated that I would send more detail when I got information from the assessor's office. Well, I never did get the information from the assessor's office that I was looking for in my comparables. Mm-hmm. So on June 7th, I sent in another analysis. Similar to the ones I did last year and the year before, where I took the houses in my immediate neighborhood and tried to adjust them. I I think that might be a little bit confusing, so I tried to give you a map, and I actually gave you a spreadsheet with seven comparables on it in my immediate neighborhood, and then I deleted two of them because they were so much larger, better construction than my house. So I ended up comparing five. I divided them into two groups. The one, the two houses that were slightly, that were significantly larger than mine, and then three houses that were pretty close to my, to the size of my house. And then I tried to adjust it for the differences in quality of construction and the view, which I understand to be significant for my house. I think I have a $50,000 view assessment.
You do?
I think so.
Okay.
It's hard to tell. I can't. So I submitted that, and then I actually heard from the assessor's office, and I got a hold of the office, and they told me who my appraiser of record was, and then they told me that she didn't do my last appraisal, and she no longer works in residential construction. That was, let's see, who was that? That was Jill Blair, and they told me that Linda McClain did my 2018 valuation. However, Linda had been reassigned to
multifamily, I think.
New construction.
Oh.
So she did send me some information. And it was this that I mailed to you, because once again they have my two bedroom house at the very top of their comparables, and there's only three houses out of 201 houses that are valued higher than mine. Some of these are four-bedroom, five-bedroom houses, and it compares to my little two-bedroom house. So, of the three that were more higher value than mine, one is $1 million commercial property, and one is over double the size of my house with better quality construction, and the other is about 1,000 feet larger than my house with higher quality construction. So I went back to my, I noticed that down here at the bottom it said that all the houses were increased to do the adjusted sale value. They were increased. Every one of these was increased by almost 1% per month, 0.85%. That's all right down there at the bottom. And I realized that the houses that I had sent to you were 8 months to a year more recent sales than the period that of my comparables. So I looked at my 2019 assessment and saw that the county had increased my assessment or my valuation by 3%, and I figured, well, it seems fair that I ought to reduce my values by 2% since I was using more recent home sales. Basically, all four of my five sales were September to December of 2018. So I adjusted it down a little bit, and that's why I sent you the third notice. So in, after all that, the number that I would like you to consider is the number on the third submittal, the one that's dated August 5th.
So you're talking about a final value estimate of 575,174? According to this letter, that's what it came up at, 575.
Well, that was the, that was,
that's on that one.
Yes.
I see your 2% comment in there.
Yes.
Yep.
So, okay.
So did, when you talked to the assessor's office, did anybody have any explanation for your value going from 577 to 806? Was that part of your conversation? Or, I mean, that's a huge increase.
Well, they just plug the same numbers. They just run the same computer program with the same parameters that they run every year. So there's whatever they're doing, just... It keeps accumulating. Where you, we have this meeting and you reduce it every year, but they go right back to the same number and start there.
Not really. Their model is predicated on the sales that have occurred in the past year, and they load that into their model.
Right.
So that, you know, whatever sales occurred during 2017, they
right.
would load into their model, and then they would compare that to the parameters of your house.
Right.
So that if it's so much a square foot for construction costs, if it's so much for bathrooms, bedrooms, whatever the criteria is in their model,
right.
they load your criteria in compared to that, and that model then uses the data they've inputted for the past year, and they then make a new model of your property. It has nothing to do with the value that was assigned the prior year. They do not use the prior year's value
as the starting point.
As a starting point.
Well, they don't use it as a starting point, but somehow they have my house more valuable than any of the comparables.
I suspect that most of what's causing yours to be higher than most of them is the view from up there.
Well, that's the reason I tried to get a hold of the actual appraiser to see what parameters they're using, but neither of my appraisers are working in the residential.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean you can't get an answer, because somebody can give it to you if it's in there. Look at the... property, whatever it's called, land details. Yeah, it doesn't indicate anything.
Doesn't indicate a view. Premium.
Doesn't list anything. Okay.
Well, the part that bothers me is two of the houses in my comparables have a comparable view.
And which two are those?
And they both.
Five and six?
Five probably
six
does.
Seven? Yeah.
Well, it was six and three.
Oh, okay.
Two and five also have that same view, but they're so much bigger houses. And
what'd you say? Six and two?
Two. They have. You have no one here for view on two.
No, I said 3 and 6.
I know you did, but then you just said 2 and 5.
Yes, that was a mistake. Okay. I misspoke.
Okay.
5 has a view that's...
comparable to yours?
Very comparable to mine.
And then the other one that has a comparable view is...
Three, six, and five,
he
said.
Okay, so
six is on the back side of the hill, isn't it?
Well, it's actually at the top of the hill. There's this house. The view is in this direction, and it's higher than my house. It is behind this ridge, but the ridge that this house is on is higher than mine.
Okay.
Have any more questions?
I think I got it.
I think so. I just want to confirm, well, you think it actually went down in value? Because last year it was at 577 and now I'm looking at 575.
Well, according to the
according to your number system.
According to the houses that are selling in my neighborhood, of the seven houses that I compared, all but one was selling for less than my assessed value. I guess the reason I was trying to contact the assessor's office is I think there's something that's misclassified on my house that causes my two bedroom 2,700 square foot house to be assessed at the same value as houses of better construction, twice as large as mine. It doesn't make sense to me that my little two-bedroom retirement home can be assessed that high. And the only way I can see to correct it is to sit down with the person who's doing appraising my house and talk about
one thing that is a factor too is that your house is 20 years newer than most of these.
Well, but if that's the case, my feeling is that I'm a newer house in an older neighborhood, and I have a hard time believing that I guess my assumption is they're comparing me to somehow to houses in 10-year-old neighborhoods, and our neighborhood is 30 years old, well, 28 years old.
But you're in a specialty neighborhood, though, too. Up there on the top of the hill, looking out. All right, I got it.
Me too. I don't have any more questions.
I'm there.
Okay, we got it.
I think we can figure it out.
Oh, have you stopped in the assessor's office? Because they have what they call the appraiser of the day.
Yes.
And you can stop in and talk to someone face to face.
Okay.
They're just down on the second floor.
I'll stop by today.
Can't hurt.
But what they've told me in the past is that I need to talk to my particular
appraiser.
Yeah, my appraiser of record.
Yeah, well, and they kind of try to bounce around, send it off to somebody else.
They don't want to deal with it. They send virtually everything up here. Yeah. They don't want to deal with appeals at all. So they, whatever excuse they can give you, they will give you.
Yeah. So how do I get around that?
Just be persistent.
Okay, face to face. I'll go down and talk to them again.
I'm surprised you got an audience with Peter. Yeah. That's unusual.
Well, not only did I get an audience, he came out to my house and looked at it. And then I went into his office and tried.
Just lately, this year, you did that?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think it was actually last year that I did it, but.
And did it do any good? Did it didn't change anything?
No, because.
The model.
Well. Okay.
Are we about ready to close the hearing?
Yeah.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board is property owned by Jordan and Bailey Handsaker. Petition 18130101 for account 18776405. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Jordan Handsaker in attendance. Hello. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail.
Mm-hmm.
Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. Mm-hmm. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you, but let me first ask, you have an appraisal, and you just bought this in 18, is that correct?
Right, July of 2018. And I'm a
sale price is one of the best indications
correct.
Of market value.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. An arm's length sale is the best indication of market value of anything.
It was sold by a realtor and...
Correct. She is a realtor by profession.
Not bank owned or anything like that?
So I purchased that for $435,000 and intended to remodel it extensively, and it was in absolutely nearly unlivable condition. So $435,000 might have been generous at the time, but I'm a contractor, so I
must
see
have potential, huh? It's got
correct.
Good bone structure.
Correct. So there it is, and then I've actually been unable to get any equity out of the building over the last year and a half as well. So according to other independent sources, it's still not even worth close to what the assessor had it at the start of 2018.
Right.
So
in terms of trying to refinance or to get some money
to get an equity line
yeah,
to finish
so
up the work, because the work was more extensive than I had anticipated.
It always is.
It always is.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions.
Purchase price and appraisal are the best evidence you can get.
Good. You'll probably be back next year.
I'm sure I will.
Have you already filed your appeal for next year?
His notice hasn't gone out yet.
No. Okay. I wrote on there that I'll probably see you next year.
Oh, yeah, your notice of value hasn't come out yet. Okay.
The date of the appraisal
September.
September, your notice of value will come out, probably.
So next year, submit your appraisal again.
Yeah, so I have
sure you
this.
Submit a copy of it again. Well, no, that one, but this one.
Yeah, and I have another one for 2019 for April, so.
Oh, okay.
That has
but
the same
try
range.
To refinance it.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So watch for that notice to come sometime in September, and you'll have to file another appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome.
We're all done. That was a...
Got lost.
Yeah. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. for the borough is property owned by Jeremy and Acacia Hilton. Petition 18130301 for account number 986037888. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one's present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point are three parcels owned by Dorothy, is it Cron? And Richard Cron. Let's see, so we have got petition number 181-30601 for account 127-724-000. Petition number 18-130701 for account number 127-741-000. And petition 18-130801 for account 923-72000. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Dorothy Cron in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, I do have one question. I thought the assessor would be here because I wanted to kind of see what they used.
Then you have to go down and drag him up here if you want that.
Well, they don't come to the hearings anymore.
Oh, okay.
You can always stop on the second floor and speak to what they call the appraiser of the day. Yeah. So since you're here in the building when we're done here, if you wanted to, you could stop down there.
I remember speaking with the, I guess you call it the appraiser of the day. I got somebody at the counter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they didn't even respond. I said in my notes, I guess I can start, that I requested a copy of the geotech survey from the assessor that they said they
did. Can you tell me on this map, first of all, which properties are yours?
This and this and... Well, yours looks different. Oh, no, it's just because I turned mine around. Sorry. This is not me. I'm used to looking at it the other way. This is us. This little strip is us. It's not at issue because there's no tax on it. This is us. This little rectangle is us. And then this whole piece, I don't know what the dotted line means, but this. So we're basically this whole piece, but okay. It's three tax parcels, four tax parcels, but one isn't taxed.
Got it. Okay.
So at the very least, when you look at it that way, this wasn't what I was going to bring up, but when you look at it that way, I wasn't sure how you guys approach it, you can see a disparity from one to the other, you know, on price per acre.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that I'm saying, and I know, you know, the first thing's probably going to be said, because it's said in the instructions, is don't compare to another property.
Assessed values.
Yeah, but the land is equal. And I'm not trying to argue about the building. I mean, our house, they won't even go into. We still have Congolium. Are we old enough to remember Congolium? But, you know, I don't want to quibble about, you know, it's an old house, but the land, there's such a disparity on. And go ahead.
Is this up in that slide area where, was it Oscar that has property up there?
I've got pictures of this slide area.
Isn't that the one that Oscar owns up there? And those down here along
this, the side? I think, is the one.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one. And it's it's the slide area.
Okay.
I did a whole bunch of maps of this slide area. I don't know if you guys got to see it.
Yeah, they should have them.
Yeah.
Yep. These.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
Now, that's one property, and then the other.
And then right here.
That property and that property
and right
are the ones we're appealing. The other little strip is not being appealed.
No, because they don't, they used to tax it, I think, but they don't tax it anymore. It's just a driveway.
Okay.
So there, these blue, and then if you square it off with these two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boy, that.
Okay, go ahead and, finish here.
Yeah, so, you know, when you talk about this slide thing, what the assessor told me is the adjacent property owners got a geotech and said that it's slide area, which I guess if you're familiar with this area, you know it is. And so when I got the maps, like, well, if other properties get lowered because of slide potential, then we might be. And I think the properties that I put in as comps, some, I don't know if you guys got to look at them or how much research you actually do. Some have used, some didn't. But the point is, when you see what land sells for in Camas, and I know everybody thinks it's great in Camas, it's hot, that's one thing when it actually sells. But you guys probably know enough to know that when it does sell, somebody's already done the research on what they think they can do with it. Nobody's done it on ours because they wouldn't sell for that if they did because of the erosion hazard. And I don't know how to tie the maps to this. I guess maybe it does. But they're valuing our acreage at a high rate. And some of it isn't just erosion hazard, it's down the hill. Like this map here shows, I don't know, you guys probably know this elevation stuff more than me, but a lot of our property, you can't even be speculative and say, oh, that's prime development land, which is what they have us listed as, because it's down a big steep hill that only the deer travel.
These, is Everett Road near you?
Everett is a little bit north and a little bit east of us. I guess I might have included their map.
Is that it down here? Is that
that's Everett? 10th.
No, no, that one that goes in
the
north.
Oh, that's Forest Home Road.
Okay.
Yeah, Everett's going to be way over
here.
Yeah.
And the one on Everett.
Well, all three of those are on Everett, aren't they?
Was right. Yeah, the one on 4003 is right near Round Lake. And there's been a lot of development out there.
Right.
This is Everett. Right. 500 is Everett.
Way out.
Oh.
Yeah, if you go on north to Waccamas Lake.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the park. Hot burger.
Yeah, there you go. You cook it for dinners. Yeah.
I grew up in Camas.
Oh!
So now I gotta find you again. Let's see. Over. Right there.
Okay, go ahead.
So at the very least, like if you consider Everett too far, or the one that is on Southeast 5th Street too far, if you just focus in on Astor and the erosion maps, I mean, I couldn't afford to pay a geotech anyways. The assessor said the adjacent property owners paid a geotech. Just looking at the maps, there's no reason that our land would be any different than the ones that did pay the geotech, because the erosion goes on these two properties that are taxed similar, and then going around, it comes all around us. Oh, and one final point. The assessor told me that this property, which would be
This one?
This one, the neighbor property. I said, why is that even lower than this one? And they said, because, and I don't know if you guys are with the assessors, I'm not trying to slam anybody, but I'm laughing, because they said that the assessor was told that this, until 10th comes through, which isn't a matter of after we're dead and gone, it's not going to happen, the city of Camas will tell you that, that has no access. Well, if that story's true, they have no access, even though they can traipse through their own property, then this one has no access because I can't traipse through my property. So then I should be as valueless as them. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I don't, I mean, if the assessor was here, I'd have the same criticisms. I know they've got a tough job and, you know, they got to look at the whole county and it's up to the owners to look at the individual picture. But when I really started looking around, got the kids out of the house and raised, and I'm like, what's going on here? I just really got a little upset. So sorry if I'm ranting, but you know, the assessor just got carried away year after year. And there's just no logic to it, except for speculation, which is up to the developers and the builders. Makes sense. Feel free to ask any questions.
So the total of your property is how much?
It's 5.81 acres if you add all the tax parcels, what they say. Yeah.
Well, even if you use their 40,000 or whatever it is an acre, you're at $200,000.
So your access is from Astor Street?
Yeah, that little strip, but it's not a true picture of it.
And your house is back here?
Back.
Is that your house?
You can just point to it on the map on the screen.
Oh, yeah. That's easier because it's turned around. Yeah. Right,
then we can all, then we can all see it.
Yeah. Here's our personal residence. And then there's the cottage on the land. It's the original farm cottage that's here. You can see it.
And are there outbuildings on the other property?
Yeah, the cottage and its same tax parcel has the barn.
Aren't you kind of at the top of the hill, right along in here someplace, and then it starts down? Or are you
coming
up the hill?
No, you're right. The crest is right about in front of these guys,
okay.
And then it starts to go down.
I finally got it located in my mind where you're at exactly. So. Okay, I'm good on it.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't know if there's anything else I should be addressing. I don't know how far you guys go through all this.
So are you asking for all of it? 487,313, you didn't ever put a final value, and then on this next page, you didn't ever put what you value these parcels at. You just have what the assessor has, but over here you had 80,407,313. And is that, and I'm assuming that's for all three of them together?
I didn't look at that one. I only looked at what I submitted. When I submitted, it was like a year early. So I might be, so I left them blank?
Yep. See, this is what you put on the one you gave us. You didn't put anything down for what you thought they were valued at. You just have the assessed value. And then on the front page, you wrote 80 and 407, but you didn't even put a total. I mean, I added the two together and put the total down, but
I'm not sure. I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'm pretty slow on the uptick. But when I looked at the values, I was just thinking that, you know, to not quibble on the buildings, but that just the price per acre price seemed the speculative part. So, I mean, of course, I'd want to be on the lowest end. You know, what was the 40?
Yeah, 40. 40, $4,000 an acre.
Four per acre was the lowest one. I mean, that's what I'd want to put it at, and I'm not... You know, I know it's Camas, and everybody says, you know, back when I bought there, they didn't have the cachet. You know, there was a horse pasture across the street.
Oh, yeah, no, when I grew up, Camas was not a cool place to be from.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Melanie.
No,
I like it.
Well, you know, if you grew up there, because I've lived in Clark County for
those of us in town
years.
Kids, you know,
right.
You know, if somebody always gets their
bed. I was the country kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have any other questions on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in.
Okay, so 30 days. So you guys just have like a confab with about it, or how does this work?
Yep. We go over this information and what you testified to, and we'll make a decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. Close it here.
All right. Continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Lastly, before the board, we have a late filed good cause request for Dina and Lauren Morse Family Trust. This is for tax parcel 100883280. We were absent from our home from April 22nd, 2019 to August 7th, 2019 and did not receive the notice until today, August 8th, 2019.
Okay.
This is a continuation of the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Kristen and Stuart Maxwell. This is petition 18130201 for account number 986039034. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Kristen Maxwell in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Sure.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth and a penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome.
Okay.
And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
As we mentioned, I'm Kristen Maxwell, one of the owners of the property. Let's see. So I'll just kind of go through my, I guess, under petitioner's concern as far as the documentation we received.
Okay.
My statement would be that the assessed value was based on the sales price. Comparable properties reflect a lower average price per square foot, and therefore a lower total property value should be given, in our opinion. The appraiser stated a few things otherwise, which I'll go into as part of my statement. And you guys mentioned that the actual assessor is not here. Okay. My husband and I understand and respect that a newly constructed home could be evaluated based on the sales price, which in this case is also the appraised value since it's a new home, and that could be a less complex approach to the assessment of value. So no disrespect to anyone's opinion here, but this is ours. I, however, disagree that this is the proper way to evaluate the market value of property from a tax and real estate perspective. My background's in real estate, so I feel pretty strongly about this as well, but I believe that the value should be based on the market and not necessarily the appraised or sell price value, which I consider is primarily used for lending purposes and could be, you know, kind of weighed one way or the other for lending. And that was used in the appraisal's argument. So, sorry, I'm out of breath.
Sorry.
That happens a lot lately. So, so basically, I think that this statement that the sell price
of $649,000 is the best indicator of market value is not really the best indicator because I didn't see any associated comps with that. It was just solely based on sale price from the documentation that I received. And therefore, I put together four comparable properties. I think those by textbook are using comparable properties as the real assessment of a market value and not just the sales price. The statement also argues that Palish Homes bases the price on specific options and finishes that could be added to the home, which could increase value. However, I would like you guys to consider that our home was already built. It wasn't one that we scoped out the property and then had it built and added and subtracted things from it. It was built, that was the sales price. There was no negotiation on the sales price, and anything added to the property was, such as we ripped up some carpet and added wood flooring, was out of our pocket. And so I don't really feel like this argument is consistent with all Palish Homes and could change the value of the property. So in conclusion, the four properties that I mentioned as comparables, and I think you guys have those in your packet, three of which are in our neighborhood and are of similar size and lot size as well, and in the same time period of sale date. And if you average those out, they do come in at an average of $224.95 per square foot, which if you do the math on that would bring our total property value down to $570,000. And that is where my argument of actually using comps in the neighborhood, I will mention that one is not in the neighborhood, but I considered it a similar property and I printed pictures out, which I don't know if that's helpful or not, but they all look the same. And so using those comps as the basis that they were sold at around the same time and of the same type of property, I think I would like you guys to consider this, these facts for the reassessment of our property.
So do you think your house is worth less than you paid for it?
I do.
You'd sell it if you were going to sell it today, you would sell it?
I mean, I would hope that we could get more for it so we don't lose money, but we were in on a relocation and had two visits to the city, and coming from a completely different state, and evaluating other properties in the area, we know we overpaid. That scares me just from a real estate perspective of what could be happening in the market in general, but absolutely feel that we overpaid for this house. Love the house, but kind of scared on resale value, to be honest.
Your house is a one level, and these are all one and a half or two level.
I think there's a one.
Two
level houses.
So the M&M appraisal company that did this for you, they did it through the bank or through the lender?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely try to negotiate that price down, but the Palish doesn't seem to budge on based on
conversation. So this was a new home?
Yes.
Well, Camas is one of the most desirable areas in all of Clark County. That doesn't surprise me a lot.
Yeah. It's a nice area too. Mm-hmm. Actually the whole state is pretty awesome.
Depending on where you came from, where'd you come from?
Texas.
Oh. Okay.
Where we also, well, the property values or the property taxes were very high in Texas.
What part of Texas?
Houston.
But I understand you can get a lot more house there for less money depending on where you live.
Yes, that is true. But it's so much nicer to live here.
Okay, I don't have.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Close the hearing.
This is the September 4th, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board, I'm sorry, board members present this morning, Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. Before the board is property owned by Patrick and Lauren Murphy. This is petition 181-29801 for account number 849-211-38. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.